Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Divorce Girl Smiling Podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff, and I'm your host. I'm the creator and editor-in-chief of Divorce Girl Smiling, the website, the podcast, and the mobile app. Today, I want to talk about something that is really prevalent in divorce. It's an emotion that is very common, and that is anger, which can turn into rage. So everybody who's listening to this, who's either going through a divorce or already went through one, I'm sure you can resonate with feeling angry at one point or another, feeling angry in the marriage, feeling angry about the way your ex is acting in the divorce, and then feeling angry and resentful about what he or she has done after the divorce. And nobody really likes being angry. I mean, we don't, as people, I don't think anybody thrives on being angry, because being angry just makes you not like yourself and it just feels awful. So today I want to talk about anger and rage and how you can control those emotions, but also why you might be feeling them and negative behaviors that can result from too much anger and rage. And to talk about this with me is divorce attorney Catherine Miller. Hi, Catherine.
Hey, Jackie. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm glad you're on this with me to talk about it, because I want to let the audience know. So Catherine has been a divorce attorney in New York and Connecticut for 36 years. And I am sure, Catherine, that in those years, you've seen a lot of rage and anger.
Of course. I've even experienced some myself.
Okay. So personally, you're divorced?
I am.
Okay. So a divorce attorney who has experienced it personally and also probably dozens and dozens of cases. I think it's unavoidable, don't you?
Of course. It's part of the nature of the beast of divorce. People who are getting divorced feel angry and even sometimes rageful. It's really a matter of what you do with that that really makes all the difference, I think.
100%. And before we get into this, tell me if you agree with this. If you are listening to this and you have anger and rage, don't feel badly about it. It's not a negative thing. It is understandable. You're not doing anything wrong. You can't help the way you feel. So we don't want to go into this saying, you know, you shouldn't have anger and rage, because of course you should, right?
Yeah, of course you should. And not only that, but anger can be really helpful. Rage, not so much.
Right, because anger can also cause you to do things that make you more productive. It can actually have a good effect, right?
Absolutely. And it can give you the energy or the courage to do something that's scary.
Oh, absolutely. All right. Yeah. So Catherine wrote this article for Divorce Girl Smiling on how to deal with anger and rage during divorce. And so we're kind of basing this podcast on that article. And my first question to you, Catherine, is what you just said. What's the difference between anger and rage?
I think it's really about how consumed you are with the feeling, right? So anger is totally understandable, totally natural, and quite can be, if it's channeled correctly, quite productive. When you're rageful, however, the feeling just takes over, and you act from the place of this feeling that in a completely reactive way and do things that frankly are not things you shouldn't do. And you're acting from this place of reactivity to the situation where the only thing that matters is that you respond to the feeling. That's rage. And obviously people don't make good choices and don't have good judgment. We're in this place of rage because it's just about acting out and there's no thought that goes into it. Anger, on the other hand, is healthy. It helps us cover our fear. You know, we talked about that a minute or two ago, that when something is scary to do, anger can push you through to do something that is scary to do. Anger can give you the energy to make decisions and move forward in a very positive way. You just have to be careful what you're doing with the feeling. And one of the things, Jackie, that I really think is it's not right or possible when people say, you know what, just leave your feelings aside. Really, is that possible? No, it's not possible. We're not, our brains aren't structured that way. It's really what you do with the feelings that you have and how you can use them to go in the direction you want to go in.
Okay, now back up a second because you just said something that I think we should address. You're right. I am always telling people, you know, getting divorced is a business decision. Leave your emotions out of it. But what you're telling me is that's not so easy to do, especially with anger. But how do you get divorced and leave it as a business deal and leave the anger out, but yet still feel it? So basically, you know, a certain time and place for the anger, maybe.
Yeah. So here's the thing, is that you have to be able to think rationally, right? But it turns out that the way that our brains are structured, the decision-making part of our brains are in the emotional part of the brain, not in the rational part. So a lot of times what ends up happening is we make a decision that's based on what we want to do because of the way we feel, and then we rationalize it, all right? Mm-hmm. So you need to be able to rationalize your decision based on, you know, rational facts, not just because, well, he should just do it that way, or, you know, she deserves it, right? That's not a rational way of thinking about it. So
but
I think that
divorced people getting divorced can have these irrational thoughts. Like, think
of
about
course.
It. Have you, and I'm sure you're going to say you have, but have you ever been in a case where the case is going fine and then one of the people gets a girlfriend or a boyfriend and then everything is off the table?
Yes, many, 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 many times. And so, because people are only ready to go as fast as they're ready when it seems like the other person is going a lot faster, then that is very hurtful. It's like, okay, I was okay with getting divorced, but I wasn't okay with you moving on so fast. Or
right.
I was okay with getting divorced. I wasn't okay with you introducing your new girlfriend or boyfriend to the kids. I was okay with getting divorced, but I didn't realize I was going to have to move, right? Like, so there's a whole bunch of things that can happen that can trigger this feeling of anger and even rage. You know, give yourself permission to have the feelings, because if you don't acknowledge that you have the feelings, they're just going to run the show anyway.
If you have really bad thoughts like that, it's okay. It's acting on them that isn't. So
exactly.
Again, we understand, meaning me and Catherine, the anger. I have been, I can't even describe how angry, and I'm a really passionate person, so I really show it. But it's normal, but you have to try to keep it in a different place when you're making decisions, or you're going to end up making really bad decisions. And if you have an attorney that's like egging you on, saying, yeah, yeah, let's go to litigation, let's get him, he's worth $5 million for sure, then you're in a bad spot also.
It's always a bad spot when you're letting somebody else egg you on. And so I think that, and I think that you're going to agree with what I'm about to say here, Jackie, but it really makes sense to process that, those feelings in therapy or coaching or some way, so that you can let it out and work through it so that you can think about what's really most important to you. And I think that that's the most important thing for anybody getting divorced, is to stop thinking about your ex and start thinking about yourself.
I love it. You're listening to the Divorce Girl Smiling Podcast with Jackie Pilisoff. I'm talking with divorce attorney Catherine Miller on how to deal with anger and rage during divorce. And Catherine is a 36-year veteran in the industry, and she's had her own firm, the Miller Law Group, out of New York and Connecticut for over 20 years. So she's seen a lot of anger and rage. Okay. Moving on, I want to talk about some negative behaviors that result from rage. So basically, we talked about making bad choices when you have rage. What are some of those, Catherine?
Well, you know, one of those things can be that you call your ex and rage at that person on the phone, say inappropriate things, or, and this is super common and really a huge mistake, post those things on social media. Do not do that. There's no question in my mind that if you do it, it's going to come back and bite you on the derriere.
Well, it's going to bite you with the judge or your case, but also it's going to bite you with other people, because I'll never forget this. When I was first getting divorced, I met this guy and he was getting divorced, and I thought he was really cute and nice, and I really wanted to go out with him. And then I friended him on Facebook and he wrote that his wife was a C. And I was like, okay, that's it. I'll never speak to him ever, because that's so disgusting, and not, that just shows such anger and rage, and not for me. So you're turning yourself off. You're turning people off, not just your judge, your ex's attorney. It's not only going to hurt you in court, it might hurt you personally.
It's definitely going to hurt you personally. Your reputation will suffer, because you're going to look really, I don't know, cringeworthy,
right?
To the people you care about.
Correct. Okay, what are some other negative things that can happen from rage?
You can tell your kids things that they really shouldn't know or shouldn't have to know. You know, and one of the things, and maybe you'll disagree with me on this, but I've had many clients say to me over the years, my kids deserve to know that their mother, their father is a cheater. Really? Do they need to know that? Is that really going to help them?
And also, they're going to know when they grow up. They're going to figure it out at some point. You don't have to tell them. They will find out the truth.
Right. They will. They absolutely will. So telling the kids something that you can't take back and really impacting their childhood in a negative way, that is also going to come back and impact your relationship with them. They will find it out. You can look like a saint, and you should. You should try to.
And also, you're keeping your kids so healthy in a time where they really need all the help they can get. You're getting divorced. They don't need to have these negative feelings. They need to feel warm, fuzzy, secure, and not, like their parents hate each other.
Both parents, I think, should encourage the children to love both parents. And that's the right thing to do for your kids, and not acting from a place of rage where you're trying to destroy the children's relationship with their other parent, because that's not good for your kids. Now, that's sort of a place where you're doing something based out of rage to hurt someone, but the people you're really hurting are the people you love the most.
100%. And listen, I know it's hard, because I've been there. There are probably times in people's divorce, including my own, where I wanted to scream and yell and just say the meanest things and just burst into tears, but you kind of have to fake it a little bit, because in the long run, it's much better for the kids.
It is much better. And I'm going to tell you another personal thing, Jackie, and that is that my ex said to my kids, and I've been divorced a long time from him. I'm remarried now over 20 years, but my ex said to my kids, your mother's a whore. And, you know, it's very tempting when you hear that to respond, oh, yeah, well, your father's an asshole, right?
Right.
It's like, that's not going to help.
That just made me sick. That made me sick.
Yeah.
All right. What are some other things? You wrote on here abusing drugs and alcohol.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that don't bury the feelings in drugs or alcohol or sex. And that's another thing that people do, is they throw themselves into another relationship and they're hiding the pain and the rage with something else, whether it's substance, another relationship, or sex, or something like that, that just distracts them from the pain. Mm-hmm.
Okay, what about, here's two more things, both of things I did personally. Physically destroying your wedding album.
Yeah.
So I didn't destroy my wedding album, but I did throw my wedding video in the garbage, and I'm sick about it, because my dad, who is now passed, was on the video, and I'm sick about it. And then another thing people do is they call their mutual friends and they just go on and on about their divorce.
Yeah, well, that's terrible for your friends who are just like, they see your caller ID and go, oh, gosh, I don't want to talk to that person. And we could do another show maybe on being a friend of somebody going through a divorce. But I think it's really hard when for friends when they give advice, right? The divorcing person calls and asks for advice, and the friend gives advice, and then the divorcing friend doesn't take it, and they just say, what do you think I should do? Well, I think I should do what I told you yesterday. I think you should do what I told you last week. It's really tiresome
You're
with
right.
that
And then they get
person.
burned out. And then, it's not their fault. And it doesn't mean that they're not a good friend. But the other thing is, you have to remember that your friends also have problems. They have lives too. And your divorce is not the center of the universe. And again, I'm not judging anybody because I did it. I called everyone and just went on and on for hours. And people stopped calling me.
You were talking about destroying your wedding album or destroying or throwing away, as you did, unfortunately, your wedding video. I've had people stab the eyes out of their spouse and family photos and put the photos back in the frame. I've had people just cut the person out of the pictures and then put those pictures back in the frame. I mean, that's very weird for your kids too. Basically, you should never take an action like that when your heart rate is raised. I mean, and I think that's true about sending off texts and emails. If you're pissed off and you're sending an email or a text, don't send it then. Send it to your lawyer, send it to your therapist. Don't put it in your drafts folder and look at it when you're calm later on and see if you really will still want to send it.
I
I
love
mean,
that idea. And you know
yeah.
what? This leads perfectly into the next part of this podcast. What to do if you're feeling this anger and rage and it's wearing you down and negatively affecting your life. What do you do? And you offered 4 tips. So I'm going to read the tips and then you explain, okay? So the first one you wrote is scream it out.
Yes, because that's what I think, that accept that you have the feelings and just like scream it out. That can feel so good if you really, really let yourself let it go in a safe place, not at your kids, maybe on a walk. Just the physiology of letting yourself have the feeling and scream it out can make you feel a lot better.
It does feel good. And even on that same note, not screaming, but I do a lot of kickboxing. And when I'm angry, I just pretend I'm in a kickboxing class and start doing like cross punches, hooks, uppercuts, just in the air. I mean, just get it out.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, number two, take deep breaths. So everyone's probably like, yeah, I've heard that, but tell us why that's important to when dealing with rage.
Well, again, physiologically, it makes a difference if you take breaths and if you count them, right? You count in. I count 4 breaths in through my nose, and then I count out 6 through my mouth, and I try to do that for 5 or 10 minutes, and I find that there's a huge response in my own body and sense of my calmness. And let me just say, when I'm counting, I think about counting, and I also think about visualizing the numbers. So I'm 100% engaged in this. And physiologically, it calms your heart rate down, it calms your breathing down, and it just makes you feel better. It's one of those things that, there's an old saying that if you put a pencil in your teeth, and this is true, Jackie, you put a pencil in your teeth, it forces your face into a smile, that physiologically, that actually makes you feel better. And breathing does the same thing.
I just did it. Okay, so I love it. And also, people listening, if you are rolling your eyes and you've never tried it, if you get nothing else out of this podcast, I'm going to urge you to try the deep breathing for, let's call it, 3 days. And do it a few times every day, because I was sort of like that before I started doing the deep breathing. I was like, oh, whatever. It really works. It is proven to work. It is, they have so many studies that link deep breathing to better quality of life, more happiness, less stress, better physical health. I mean, name it. There's so many. All right, moving on to number three, practice mindfulness.
Yeah, I think that if people can create a place to in their home, or that where they can feel like they're doing some breathing and you know, like some meditation, but being aware of their feelings. You know, sometimes one thing that I do with this, Jackie, is I'll ask myself the question out loud. I'll say, Catherine, why are you feeling so anxious about that? Catherine, why are you feeling so angry about that? Catherine, why are you feeling so nervous about that? And then I answer myself out loud. And this allows me to have a sort of kind of like a therapy session with myself to and get a little bit more, I don't know, objectivity around my internal experience. And so being aware of what you're feeling and why, and just allowing yourself to have those feelings without judging yourself. I mean, that's something that you've talked about during this podcast a lot, is to not feel so self-judgmental. It's really hard to do.
So I want to piggyback off that. And you wrote, like, people might be thinking, John is going to be late picking up the kids again. I just know it. Or I can't believe Sarah cheated on me. When you have those thoughts, there's something called cognitive behavioral therapy, where you have to take that thought and say, John's going to be late picking up the kids again. I just know it. And say to yourself, that's something I can't control. What I can control is that after the kids leave, I have this planned. I'm going to get this done. I'm going to enjoy a cocktail with my friend or go for a long walk. Or if someone says, like, I can't believe Sarah cheated on me. Well, that I can't control what she did, but I can control myself. And I can control the fact that I can have gratitude for my kids, for my physical health, for my job, if that's what you love in life, or for the people around you. And I think the more you talk about good things in your life, it crowds out, so your mind doesn't have enough room for all this negativity and toxicity. You're listening to the Divorce Girl Smiling podcast with Jackie Pilisoff and my guest, divorce attorney Catherine Miller. And we are talking about how to deal with anger and rage. And we're on number four, the last one, get professional help. And, you know, a lot of these articles that people write, including me, always end this way. But it is probably the most important thing is to, when you need help, get it, right? I mean,
absolutely. There's nothing wrong with getting help. It doesn't make you crazy. It doesn't make you weak. It makes you human. And when you're going through a divorce, whether or not you chose the divorce or didn't choose the divorce, whether or not you're the person leaning out or leaning in, getting some professional help to deal with those feelings is going to make you healthier. It's going to make you get through it faster, and it's going to give you more healthy things to do with the anger rather than let them rule you in rage.
Right. And the other thing is, when I was getting divorced, there was no such thing as divorce coaches, because that was 15 years ago when I got divorced. Now, I 100% believe that people getting divorced need not only a therapist, but a divorce coach as well. And I think it would have helped me tremendously. Do you agree?
I do. I think it's super helpful to have that really targeted advice and guidance for how to deal with the very divorce specific things, how to go through the negotiation, how to deal with your feelings in it, someone to send your texts to when your heart rate is up and you're really pissed off, or your emails, someone to figure out what you can control and what you can't control. All of that is super helpful to have that coach there.
Absolutely. And I want to plug Jenny Stevens, who is a divorce coach and a therapist both. And I have gotten to know her in the past couple of years, and she could explain, if you wanted to reach out to her, the difference between coaching and therapy. She's just a wonderful, wonderful person. And you can find her on Divorce Girl Smiling, and you can also find Catherine Miller on Divorce Girl Smiling. In closing, I think it is extremely normal and very understandable to have anger during a divorce. And Catherine and I both agreed that it's actually healthy to feel anger. And I actually have gotten some emails from readers who I had to respond with, why aren't you angrier? Like, people who don't have anger, I think, suffer later as well. Like, I think that you have to get the anger out and really experience that emotion in order to move on. Would you agree with that?
I worry that people who don't have anger are really depressed.
Yes.
You
Right.
know,
Or
and I
they're thinking that it's their fault and, you know, they did something wrong. And not having anger, it really is not a good thing. So what we're saying is anger is a good thing, but it's really important to manage it, know when to express it, realize that there are times that you can't express it, i.e. in front of your kids or if you're in court. Or if it's late at night and you're drinking and you want to send your text, your ex, the meanest text in the world, it's just not good. So in closing, what I want to say is remember that what you do now during your divorce and how you act and the decisions you make are going to affect your life and your kids for the rest of your lives. So it's really important to manage the anger, to get the help you need. But Catherine, let's talk about the good news. After you have a client and the divorce is over and the person is feeling like a lot of relief, does anger fade a lot then? Like, tell us about that so people can feel like there's hope.
Yes, anger fades, and it's kind of like mourning the loss of someone. You know, you never stop missing them, but it stops hurting so much, right? So you may feel that you still wish the other person acted differently. They didn't have the affair. They didn't weren't constantly late or whatever. But there comes a place of acceptance, I think. And I think acceptance is a step on the way to forgiveness. And I don't know that people need to get to forgiveness, but I do think if you get to acceptance, then it can allow you to move on with your life without making up with the other person, not excusing what they've done, or even coming to any kind of closure about it, but you just accept it and stop feeling so angry about it. And that then allows you to kind of move on with your life and do again what I think is the most important thing is and focus on yourself and the people who matter to you now, your children, other your friends, whatever it is, not your ex.
100%. And I want to say one more thing about forgiving. Forgiving doesn't mean forgetting. You can forgive your ex years later or whenever you decide, you know, for anything he or she did. That doesn't mean you have to pretend that it didn't happen or that it wasn't wrong or rewrite history. But forgiveness will help you feel more at peace and like a more kinder, kind person who is just loving and has a lot of positivity and is willing to move forward instead of staying in the past.
Yeah, well, that's why I like the word acceptance instead of forgiveness, because forgiveness, you know, particularly women, Jackie, are oftentimes when someone says, oh, you know, I'm sorry, what do we say? We say, it's okay. It's a really common thing to do, again, especially for women. And it doesn't have to be okay. You can say, I forgive you. You can say, you know, I'll get over it. I really like the separation out. You can accept that person did something to hurt me, and I cannot be in reaction to it anymore and still hold them accountable in my mind, right? I can hold them accountable. I don't have to let them in. I don't have to feel lovey-dovey and feel like I don't have any thought that that was wrong anymore, but I don't have to be emotionally reactive to it anymore. And that, I think, is a really
Absolutely.
important thing.
It is. You're listening to the Divorce Girl Smiling podcast with Jackie Pilisoff and Catherine Miller, a divorce attorney. And I want to say one more thing about Catherine. She's a certified mediator and a trained collaborative divorce professional. So basically, tell me if I'm right here, Catherine. You're a big fan of divorcing through mediation and or the collaborative process and avoiding litigation as much as you possibly can.
I am a really big fan of focusing on resolving your divorce on what matters to you, not what matters in the courtroom. And it's not necessarily that that's unimportant, because it is. That's certainly part of the reality that you and your soon-to-be ex face. But I'm not sure that it necessarily should drive the decisions or all the decisions you make about your kids or your future.
100%. So if you want to reach Catherine, if you're getting divorced in New York or Connecticut and you have questions or you want to talk to her, She can be found at miller-law.com or on Divorce Girl Smiling. And also, Catherine teaches mediation, and she also has her own podcast called Divorce Dialogues, which I was a guest on like a year and a half ago. Remember that?
I do.
So, Catherine, thank you for being on here. I love the article you wrote on anger and rage. I thought it was great. And love talking to you.
It's been a lot of fun.
If you want to learn more, visit divorcegirlsmiling.com. And thanks so much for listening, everyone. We'll talk to you real soon.